Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You're listening to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Reverend Alethea Smith-Withers, pastor of the Pavilion of God in Washington, D.C. The Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Show is a keeping it real show about life. I seek to minister to the people of God through all phases of their experience, even up to the higher life of the Spirit. This show is a safe place to talk about everything from pop culture to politics. I want to thank you again for listening and for sharing information about this show with your friends and for joining in the dialogue in many different ways. So many of you are calling in or posting your comments and questions on the Blog Talk chat line during the show. Thank you for that. Keep doing that. Others post comments on the Pavilion of God Facebook page and or email me and tweet me with your comments and questions. And thanks. Keep going as well. Your social circles are circles of life, circles of information and circles of transformation, circles that help us to all move from survival to life to thriving. And that's the goal, to thrive. There are 22 days till Christmas, and as a part of the countdown to Christmas, we're talking about Advent tonight, a religious and spiritual way to wait for this sacred Christian holiday. To lead in the discussion about Advent, I have two guests tonight, the Reverend Cassandra Burton and the Reverend Virginia Grabassi, both Episcopalian priests in the Washington metropolitan area, both well-versed in understanding and the praxis of Advent. But before we hear from them, I invite you once again to set your intention for a growth experience. Attune your heart and mind and be ready to rev up, accelerate, and energize your thinking. Hear now this simple word of prayer. Divine Universal Spirit, Spirit that is advancing towards us, embrace us now, we pray, in the powerful hope that is divine and eternal. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this season. Quicken our minds and open our hearts so that we might see the gift that you have given us. Lord, when gifted and strengthened, then enable us to go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, that Jesus Christ is born. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. If you are just joining us, welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Show. Your host is Reverend Alethea. And to join in the dialogue tonight, dial 347-945-7723. Also, you can write a comment on the blog site for me and others who are listening to the show tonight, and I will certainly share your comments and questions with our guests. Tonight, I have two guests, both Episcopalian priests, from the Washington metropolitan area. The Reverend Virginia Jenny Grabassi is a graduate of Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C., with Anglican Studies at the Virginia Theological Seminary. In her previous life, and then we all of us in ministry have a previous life, in her previous life, she worked in public policy relating to poverty and hunger, and as a criminal defense attorney. She was ordained in 2007 and has served as associate rector at Christ Church in Kensington, Maryland, before coming to St. John's Church at Lafayette Square in Washington, D.C. in 2012, where she serves as assistant rector, and Reverend Gabasi is married and has two sons. My other guest is Reverend Cassandra Burton, and she is a graduate of Virginia Theological Seminary. In her previous life, she was a writer with a particular interest in history. Her unique calling is to serve churches that need to be revitalized. She has been serving in the Diocese of Washington, D.C. since 2007, and in 2009, she was called to serve as rector at Christ Episcopal Church located in Clinton, Maryland. She is married to Malachi Burton, Jr., and together they have two children. Welcome, ladies, to the Rev Up with Reverend Alicia Blog Talk Radio Show. It is a joy to have you both with me tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's wonderful that we're going to be talking about Advent because it's an exciting time. It's the beginning of the church year. And I just love all the preparation that takes place during Advent. I reminded my congregation on Sunday that the festival of Christmas was not established until the 4th century, that in the early church, Easter was the major Christian festival.
And wow, that's fantastic. Uh-huh. But let me, before we even start talking about Advent, I want to pause for 1 second, Reverend Burton, to ask you both to share. I want to let you know, my audience knows I'm a Baptist clergywoman, and I could not be happier to have two Episcopalian ministers with me tonight. And a question has already come in. You won't believe the question. What does rector mean?
Mm.
Either of you. Because, you know, many
Cassandra?
Protestants
well,
are
it means
used
we're
to
the
saying reverend and not rector, and they're kind of asking, what is rector?
The buck stops with us. Chief honcho, any problems come to the rector or the reverend, and we're supposed to solve everything.
So the rector is like a senior pastor at a at a particular church.
Yes, sort of like in the Baptist tradition, we would be that senior pastor.
Okay. And it's recently, you know, in some denominations, the term is not reverend, it's deacon. You know, you're ordained a deacon. Well, you're called reverend, but you're ordained a deacon. And so people get very confused at times. So I wanted, when I saw the question rector, I said, well, great, we're going to use that. Now, do they also call you reverend, or do they all call you rector? How are you addressed is the question.
I'm addressed as reverend. And we become deacons before we become become rectors. I served for 2 years as a deacon.
So in the other, well, and my experience was a little different. This is Jenny Gerbasi.
Mm-hmm.
I served as a deacon for 6 months, and then I was ordained a priest. And as soon as I was a deacon, I was referred to as the Reverend Jenny Gerbasi. But the people in my parish call me a variety of things. I'm a very, very casual person, so mostly people just call me by my first name. But in our tradition, an appropriate thing to call a clergy person would be either maybe Father so-and-so, Reverend so-and-so. For women, it's a little awkward, and it's Mother so-and-so. So some people in my parish call me Mother Jenny, which my children find hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
I'm laughing already.
Yeah, Mother Jenny. But generally speaking, the you know, I am a reverend, and you can see that, you know, I'm the Reverend Virginia Gerbasi, but people call us, you know, different things depending on what the culture is within the parish. And both of us, in the Episcopal Church, you're ordained a deacon before you were ordained a priest. So you're ordained twice.
Right. And Jenny, I was ordained a deacon first, and it was only 6 months, not 2 years.
Oh.
But it did take 2 years to become full rector.
Yeah.
So, but like you, I'm a little more casual, and I like Reverend Cassandra. Uh-huh. And that's what they call me in my congregation.
Well, and okay. I'm not the senior pastor at my church. I'm one of three. Cassandra and I know each other well. We're good friends. And we have very, very different parishes. A parish is the word we Episcopalians use for our particular church.
I thank you, ladies, for all of this. This is really helpful for a lot of folks, I'll tell you.
So at my church, there are three clergy people, three full-time priests, and I'm not the senior pastor. The senior pastor at my parish is a priest named the Reverend Dr. Luis León, and then there are two other priests, myself and another priest, Mike Angel.
Right.
Right, whereas
and he has
my
a great name, Mike Angel. How great is
I know,
that?
Isn't that fantastic? Yeah. His mother is also an Episcopal priest. Isn't that great?
Oh, that's amazing. Now, I will share with the audience that I grew up in the Episcopal Church, and one of the first things, because when I was a child, there weren't as many ordained women. And I remember one of our kind of sister churches had a woman who became the rector of the church, and the biggest talk and discussion was, what do we call her?
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm, you know, the yeah. debate seemed endless, and she ended up being mother, and as I can remember, she hated it.
Mm. It is awkward. Does anybody, Cassandra, does anybody
yeah.
call you mother?
No, I flat out said what I wish to be called. And one mm-hmm. of the most important classes I took while in seminary was a class taught by the former dean, Martha Horn, and the former bishop of Washington, Jane Dixon, which addressed
wow.
the issues that women face. And I mm-hmm. have to say it was one of the most wonderful classes that I took while at seminary, because it brought up some of these issues that women faced and
mm-hmm.
and some of the stereotypes. I mean, I've actually had people say to me, you know, I'm sure you're okay, but I really don't like female rectors. Or people will say, you know, I mean, the glass ceiling is still very real
mm-hmm.
for females.
Mm-hmm.
Some churches, I remember, didn't even give you a call back for an interview.
Well,
they
or
didn't
the assumption,
want a female.
Or the assumption is that women should be responsible for all the children and family ministries and
mm-hmm.
pastoral care or something, and not a serious area of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
yes.
a that's changing, certainly. But I remember Bishop Dixon saying, now notice, the men priests are usually father last name, and women are usually mother first name.
Absolutely.
And so it's
isn't
often,
something?
You know, I'm fine with it. I love surprising people, you know, to find out that I'm also smart or that I can be, you know, help make business decisions and things. I like surprising people. And it's fun when I do a wedding or a funeral and people who are in traditions that don't allow women
mm-hmm.
to be clergy often will come up to me and say, that's the first time I've ever been to a funeral or a wedding or a service. With a woman, and I'll say, so, how'd I do? You know, then they'll say, you know, it was great. You know, I hardly noticed. I forgot after a few minutes. So that's
well,
a great joy.
So helpful. This is really helpful to talk about mm-hmm. the challenge and still this new story that is unfolding mm-hmm. about women in ministry. We, you know, we've been around for a while. And, you know, I've been serving for a while, you've been serving for quite some time, and yet this is still, in many respects, new. And
mm-hmm.
And certainly, actually, in the Baptist tradition, there are more women, North and South, serving in ministry than in the District of Columbia. This still tends to be the last bastion of male supremacy. I think women in leadership here is still a very important part of an expression of God's will, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you before, Jenny, if you could share some, just tell us about your congregation and your
sure.
church, and then Cassandra, sure. if you would, just tell us about yours.
Okay.
Well, my congregation right now, I'm one of the two junior priests at St. John's Church, Lafayette Square. It's known as the Church of the Presidents, and it is directly across Lafayette Park from the White House. It's a congregation that was begun in 1815, and at the time, the only two buildings on Lafayette Square were the church and the White House. It has a reputation as being, well, it's a historic parish, so people, we get a lot of tourists and a lot of visitors who come, and I think they assume that St. John's Church is like a museum and that, you know, it's in their tour books as the Church of the Presidents, and so they come in to take pictures and see our stained glass windows, and then they're surprised when every weekday at 12:10 we have a service. Oh, it happens all the time. And again, I love surprising people with them coming in with their cameras and walking in to see people in the middle of the day praying and having communion. And
wow.
And they stay, and it's a wonderful opportunity to show people that it's a real place with a real congregation, real life, children, a Christmas pageant, you know, the whole thing. It's a real living parish, and the president also comes there. But he's one person who comes. He's not the only, and it's not. I like to think of us as the Chinese food restaurant across the street. You know, he comes to us because we're close, and so it's a beautiful parish. It's a large parish. It's we have a very impressive music program. You know, it's more traditional, and it's not. I mean, Cassandra, I can't wait for Cassandra to tell you about some of the totally cool and fun things she does.
Is a high church?
Well, I would say it looks high. But the experience of it is not. The experience of it is very, very warm and authentic. And the church is yellow on the outside. A lot of people know it as the little yellow church. And it's actually much bigger on the inside. It seats about 750 people. But it is really warm and friendly. And it is not actually a high church. You know, we don't use incense. We don't bow. We don't, you know, do those kinds of things. In terms of the Episcopal Church, which ranges from what we call low church to something that would look very Roman Catholic, we're on the low end. But it looks, if you were to go to our website and look at the pictures of the church, or if you were to come downtown and come in to see the church, it looks pretty fancy, with a beautiful dome and a chandelier. I mean, it was designed by Benjamin Latrobe, who was the designer of the Capitol. And it's stunningly beautiful. But the experience of being there is much more, it surprises people with its friendliness and its welcome. And it's not stuffy.
Fairly diverse congregation?
For a downtown, for where we're located, it's fairly diverse. We have, I mean, it's diverse in terms of we have people from the homeless to the President of the United States worshiping there.
That's diverse.
Yes. it's not as, you know, again, the neighborhood where we are doesn't have a lot of housing, you know,
right.
So we have a lot of young adults, which is not something that a lot of churches have, because we have a lot of apartments where young professionals come, or graduate students at GW or Georgetown or something come. So we have a lot of adults. We have a lot of empty nesters. We have a lot of young couples with babies. So, you know, we draw from the neighborhood around us, but also from the close-in Northern Virginia suburbs and the close-in Maryland suburbs. But as I said, it's diverse in that we have worshipers from homeless people to the President of the United States.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I think, especially as we're going to talk about Advent this evening, it's important since you're talking out of your experience of Advent as well as your knowledge, you're not mm-hmm. talking as someone in remote academia, but you're talking from your experience. It's important for people to have a sense of where you worship. Cassandra, can you kind of share, Reverend Cassandra, can you share something about your congregation?
My church is totally different than Jenny's. we're like the country cousins. Christ Episcopal Church was actually dates back to 1875. Our first structure actually was a wooden structure made of carpenter boards, which sat in the middle of our present-day cemetery. And it was in the early 1900s they decided on the brick structure that we now have. And I was actually told a story about a man who was in his late 80s, and he told me about how his mother actually took him by the hand and went out selling bricks for a dollar a piece to build the new brick church.
Oh, my God.
And, how wonderful.
And, you know, every time I see that stained glass window, I think of her selling bricks for a dollar a piece. We are about 8 miles from the district. It was an area that had lots of farms, and you still see roads like Schultz Road, which was one of the big farms out there, and we still have a descendant of that family that's been attending Christ Church for 77 years.
Oh.
So we have a lot of history with some of the local people. We had originally 2 acres, and then they continued to add on to our property. So we have 14 acres, and we're very blessed.
I can't
to have
imagine that.
Well, it's
That's
a blessing
amazing.
And a curse. we have a lot of it takes a lot of upkeep. We have our own cemetery. We have our own fellowship grove that has an outdoor altar, and we use that for our Easter sunrise service every year, as well as the blessing of the pets and any other time I can get them out there, because I love experiencing God in nature. And it's just a phenomenal place. We also have picnic tables out there. We have plenty of parking, and we're getting ready for Christmas Eve. We actually have a wonderful nativity that's placed out front, because we do a live nativity on Christmas Eve at 6 p.m. And
can you tell them about the donkey, please?
Oh, yeah.
Howard.
Well, our children are practicing, and once again, they've gotten me involved with the pageant, and I will do anything to support our children. And the irony is we have lots of boys at our church. We have very few young women, but we have lots and lots of boys, which is wonderful. But they're practicing, and we have wonderful new robes that have been made for the Three Kings this year. And the person making them, because we have no money, has gotten very creative in where she's found the fabric. And when she tells me the stories, I just chuckle. Pillow shams and anything else she can find.
Oh, it's like Sound of Music or Gone with the Wind.
It's just incredible. I mean, we are like the country church that has very little fun, so to speak, but we have a great spirit. And that's what I find encouraging about Christ Church. And they truly take seriously this time of preparation. So the children are practicing for the pageant for Christmas Eve, and our donkey, who they named Howard, will be attending to help tell the story. Now, Howard often brings some of his friends from the farm, and it depends how well behaved they are. Our very first year, we had his friend, the goat, Snowbell, to eat somebody's scarf.
My gosh.
Okay, she bent down and said, "Cute little goat," and he went chomp, chomp, chomp. So Christmas Eve is always an experience at Christ Church.
St. John's does not have live animals, let me just say. St. John's is not going to have live animals in the pageant. Just pretty sure of that.
Well, you know, we have our live animals that will be there. We also set out hundreds of luminaries to light the way for Christ. And on the first Sunday of Advent, we actually had young and old preparing the bags of sand for Christmas Eve. And we've really gotten good at this. I mean, we've put them out in rain, sleet, snow, you name it. But hundreds of these luminaries are put out, and they start lighting them at 3 o'clock on Christmas Eve. And by the time people start arriving at 5 o'clock, the whole perimeter of our property is ablaze, lighting the way for Christ.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So it really makes a statement. I mean, because we're in the country, and so you can imagine it's pretty dark where we are. And to see, we have 14 acres. We probably light up about five of them where the church is. And the bags go all around and around the parking lot, around the front of the church, as we light the way for Christ. So on the first Sunday of Advent, we were busy filling these bags of sand. This year, we also began making snowflakes. We decorate our parish hall as well because it's important for us to break bread together on Christmas Eve. And so we decorate the ceiling. We also decorate the parish hall with nativity sets, and that is in the process. But the snowflakes mean that no two are ever alike, and we all know the story about little snowflakes. Well, at Christ Church, we are such a diverse congregation, but yet we stick together through thick and thin, and that's what it's all about, being a Christian. And it's always heartwarming to see all that happens. We also, this coming Saturday, will be baking cookies, and our children are very involved in the cookie baking operation. I mean, we bake hundreds and hundreds of cookies, I mean, dozens and dozens of cookies. It's just phenomenal how many. We have people on our prayer list that are in the armed services, and they actually prepare tins of cookies that are sent to every member of the armed services that is on our prayer list. Oh. With a note from our children and a homemade card saying that we're praying for them.
Oh, that's
and
then
cookies.
Amazed.
Well,
going.
Once
this
again,
wonderful.
They also make the cookies that we serve on Christmas Eve. So, you know, that's the project for this week. They'll start. You know, they're still making snowflakes, and they'll probably finish that up and start getting those up. We also have a thrift shop. And it's loaded with lots of bargains. I mean, it's the most phenomenal place to shop. It'll be open this Saturday. We also have a mitten tree because, you know, we believe in keeping people warm. We also have a food pantry that is just getting really, really stocked. And people come and they actually line up an hour early to be blessed by our food pantry.
Oh.
And then on Christmas. And then at Christmas Eve, we also have a... We also have a chrismon tree, okay? And
a what?
I think you a chrismon tree. Do you do a chrismon tree?
Okay, explain that one.
Okay, it's an evergreen that's covered with signs of Christ in white and gold, and covered with white lights. It symbolizes that Christ is the light of the world. So our chrismon tree will go up. We also have a Christmas concert at 6:30. Our pageant's at 6. Our Christmas concert's at 6:30, and our High Mass on Christmas Eve is at 7. So we have a very full time on Christmas Eve, and it takes the time of Advent to do all the preparation.
Right. It sounds like, I was going to say, it sounds like you guys, you know, if Advent is about preparing for the birth of Christ, you all, as a parish community, really do need Advent to literally prepare for what you do.
We do.
Like the cookies, the whole thing. It's,
it's
sometimes hard to picture. It's hard to imagine in real life now what it means to prepare for Christ's coming, which is what Advent is about.
Right.
In a way that's not about Christmas shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Because the culture...
Fantastic.
When you ask people in the culture, what are you doing to prepare for Christmas? I'm absolutely certain that more than 99 out of 100 of them would say, well, I'm shopping, you know, or I'm getting ready. I'm you know, getting ready for the house guests we're going to have or something like that. People think about the gifts they're giving and not what it means to prepare, like Cassandra's parish is doing, preparing to feed people, preparing to love them by sending them cards, preparing to love them with the pageant. You know, St. John's also has, we have an angel tree where we have parishioners who take somebody's name and do Christmas shopping for that person. We have a variety of local agencies that distribute gifts to kids who otherwise wouldn't have them, a real variety of things. We have a lot of things we do along those lines too, but man, Cassandra's parish, You know, they're also taking care of animals, for God's sakes. You know, they're feeding animals and cleaning
hilarious.
Up after
well,
animals.
You know, I forgot to mention that, you know, part of filling our sandbags, we actually tell people on Thanksgiving to save their cans. And
uh-huh.
people are to bring their cans to church to use as scoopers out of these 50-pound bags of sand.
Oh, yes, and the luminaria. Oh, gosh.
Oh, yes, yes. The luminaries
sure the
are just...
Secret Service would let us put luminaria outside.
Well,
oh,
my goodness. I'm ready. Yeah, that's
Christ
that's
Church
so
is located out the
yeah.
back gate of Andrews Air Force Base.
Mm-hmm.
So many of your parishioners, Jenny, are flying in and out of Andrews. And
that's
we
right,
we
that's
get
right.
the people that are working at Andrews.
That's
we're getting
right.
the people that are the mechanics. We're getting the right. veterans who have served. And that's who our congregation is.
Right.
They're the people that come with their heart and soul and give of their gifts, of their time and their talents
right.
at Christ
right.
Church. And that's what's so impressive, to see how they, you know, I had one person one time when we needed our library painted, and they said, I can paint the library.
Oh,
you know,
wonderful.
They bring their gifts, and that's
uh-huh,
what
uh-huh.
I'm always amazed at, that somehow we get it done.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, we're the country parish. Jenny is the city parish.
Right.
And yet when
Isn't
you come
fun?
Out to the country and you see us on Christmas Eve, people just sort of, they stop the traffic on Old Branch mm-hmm. Avenue. We're located at 8710
so.
Old Branch Avenue, and people just stop in amazement how... This we're a small congregation in a large facility now, and we've been growing to once again be the church we had been, and it's exciting to see that growth taking place
uh-huh.
as people bring their gifts, they come to worship, and it's just exciting, and they're getting the message, they're getting what Advent is about.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
that this is not Christmas, folks. We're not singing
right.
Christmas carols.
Yeah, yeah.
We're
one
preparing.
Way,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, at Cassandra's Church, they're literally preparing. At mm-hmm. St. John's, we do some of that. You know, we have children getting ready for the pageant and people getting costumes ready and our choirs rehearsing and things. But the emphasis at St. John's is on the liturgy, the worship services, and the things we do in worship and with worship that help prepare you for Advent. So,
mm-hmm.
for example, and of course we're not alone. I'm quite sure Cassandra has an Advent wreath in the church. But
oh,
the,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
all of the vestments, all of the things that cover the altar, the lecterns, you know, the stoles we wear, all the colors change, and it's the most beautiful blue in the church. And we have an Advent wreath, and every Sunday one more of the candles is lit. And we begin the service with a beautiful, first of all, our choir sings a beautiful meditative piece at the beginning, right before the service, to set a mood of silence and holiness. And then the service begins with the lighting of the Advent wreath and a beautiful prayer. If I can just read one little bit of it. So during
Please.
Advent, every service begins this way. Dear people of God, in the season of Advent, it is our responsibility and joy to prepare ourselves to hear once more the message of the angels, to go to Bethlehem and see the Son of God lying in a manger. Let us hear and heed in Holy Scripture the story of God's loving purpose from the time of our rebellion against him until the glorious redemption brought to us by his holy child Jesus. And let us look forward to the yearly remembrance of his birth with hymns and songs of praise. But first, let us pray for the needs of this whole world, for peace and justice on earth, for the unity and mission of the church for which he died, and especially for his church in our country and in this city of Washington. And because he particularly loves them, let us remember in his name the poor and the helpless, the cold, the hungry and the oppressed, the sick and those who mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and the little children, as well as those who do not know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's how we begin That's
interesting,
a little
Jenny.
More of a prayer,
ours is pretty much the same, and liturgy is an important part of who we are. And we also have a beautiful blue that we use, which is the contemporary color for Advent, rather than the purple.
What are the colors of your candles?
My candles are purple and the rose color candle.
Yep,
with
so
the white,
three purple.
Okay. Yeah, and the one, the large white candle, which is called the Christ candle in the center.
Christ candle.
And so
some
we do like the
candles.
Different
colors.
We tend to use the traditional colors. And like I said, we were blessed that years ago they had purchased a blue set of altar linens and vestments. So I switched to the blue for Advent because it's not as penitential season as the season of Lent, where we do use the purple. So, yes, we use purple for Lent, but we use the blue for Advent to distinguish the two, and I've explained that to the congregation, why we do it. And what I've tried to do is use what we have. This church was richly blessed at one time and then went through a series of changes. And so we are in a rebuilding process, but it's been fun to find some of these wonderful things in closets that had not been used for a while.
That's always great.
Yeah,
right.
You know, I mean, even our bells, we had a set of bells, and we've, you know, pulled those out, and our children have formed a bell choir. So we've been doing a lot of things with what we have, and that's been exciting to see that occurring. Like I said, we're basically in the country.
Okay, I would also like to ask Jenny, can you describe, after you read the prayer, you light the candle then? Is that the only observance? Is that the completion of the observance of Advent during the service?
Well,
during the liturgy for the service?
Well, of course, we pick hymns and things that match the Advent season. We also put the confession. Cassandra mentioned that Advent is less of a penitential season than Lent. So let me explain that a little for people who aren't sort of church geeks like we are. So there are two seasons of the church year, and they're seasons that don't necessarily line up with the sort of weather seasons, but two seasons of the church year where the church considers that people ought to be trying to be more intentional about their prayer life and their introspection and trying to connect with God and see their own role, both as individuals and as humankind, in the brokenness of the world. And those are called the penitential seasons, and the big one is Lent, the 40 days leading up to Easter. Advent is also a penitential season, but as Cassandra said, it's a softer version. And it's a time when we are invited to prepare ourselves for the birth of Christ again in the world, but also prepare ourselves for Christ to come again and in the fullness of time. So to represent that also in the service at St. John's, we do the confession when, let me back up a bit more. In the Episcopal Church, every single Sunday is a Sunday where we have what some in the Roman Catholic Church they would call a Mass. In some other denominations they might call the, just communion or the service of table. So we have communion every Sunday. And part of our liturgy, part of that service, includes a confession where the whole congregation says the confession together and the priest pronounces God's forgiveness, God's blessing on the people. And normally that confession comes right before communion. In the Advent service, to mark it as a more penitential season, immediately after this prayer, we do the confession. And another thing we do normally during the rest of the church year, as soon as the confession is finished, the people stand up and they're remaining kneeling, and the priest gives the blessing and pronounces the absolution. In the Advent service, we remain kneeling, and we sing along with the choir one of the songs, like the Kyrie, which is "Have mercy, Lord, have mercy, Christ, have mercy, Lord, have mercy," or in Latin, "Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison." We stay kneeling and sing that all together. It's very moving, and it immediately sets a different tone. So we, one way is that we begin with a few members of the choir singing an Advent piece right before the service that sets a tone of quietness and sacredness. And then we begin it differently with this prayer. And then we kneel and say the confession. And then we sing a Kyrie. And it's so right from the beginning, you set a different tone and expectation, both in things you're seeing, in the way the altar looks. It's blue. There's the Advent wreath that's been lit, and in the things you're hearing. So the prayer at the beginning, called the bidding prayer, is right there, and it's a different mood. And then putting the confession at the beginning, and then following it with this haunting, beautiful music of the Kyrie, is again a way to set the service apart. We also change around some of the prayers and some of the other sort of routine music we sing in the service to just shake it up a bit so that people also recognize it's a different season. We also offer, we'll have a service on December 15th, Sunday, December 15th, our 11 o'clock service will be a service that's unique to the season, and it's called the Service of Lessons and Carols. And that's something a lot of Anglican or Roman Catholic churches offer, that service, where it's a selection of readings that tell the whole story of God's salvation, mm-hmm. and carols that go along with it. And it's an ancient service that is stunningly beautiful. We also have concerts during the year. So we have a concert tomorrow at 12:10. We have a service every day during the week, every weekday at 12:10. But one Wednesday, the first Wednesday of the month, we have a concert instead. And this first Wednesday, it will be a concert of Advent carols. And it starts at 12:10, and it's free, and it's a short concert. It's the sort of thing people come to from the business offices around St. John's, and people come for these concerts. And tomorrow's concert is the Madrigal singers from St. Albans School and the National Cathedral School. They've toured all over the world, and they'll be singing Advent hymns. And so we also mark the season with worship services that are a little different, and you know, music that's different. So we sing Advent carols and change what you hear and what you see. And can I just say one more thing about the Advent wreath and its symbolism? Okay. So the Advent wreath, you light one more candle every week, and there are traditions about which color. But I think the most profound thing about it is that one of the main symbols, visual symbols of Advent, is light, is that at the time of year when the world is getting darker, where literally darkness is overcoming the light, so that every day there's more darkness, that as we get closer and closer to the darkest day of the year, which of course is right before the celebration of Christ's birth or Christmas, as it gets darker and darker, the candles burn brighter.
And
the
brighter,
candles, yes, the candles tell us and remind us that the light of God is coming, that the light of Christ is coming. And not only that, but that darkness can never put out light. And this was the ancient visual symbols that spoke to people more than 1,000 years ago. People first started celebrating the season before Christ's birth, right probably around in the 300s, so in the 4th century. But this visual connection that as the earth grew darker and darker, in many ways, we can experience that in our culture, where we feel like, you know, the world, there's so much war and violence and darkness in the world, that as the world grows darker, the light grows brighter, and that darkness
yes.
cannot put out light. And that is the reason that Advent wreath is the primary visual symbol of Advent, that as it gets darker and darker, and the darkest day of the year is December 21st, that light will grow brighter.
Well, that's
so powerful.
Like,
I just want to say for both of you to know that on the blog site, for those listening, there's mentioned the Magical Singers that are in concert on December the 4th, which is tomorrow at 12:10. If you want additional information, you just simply click on the link to St. John's, and you can get additional information. If you want to know more about Howard the Donkey or any other
Howard
additional
be thy
information.
Name.
Yes. Thank you.
Know,
that is hilarious.
You,
you
know, it's
know,
interesting because, you know, liturgy is very important, and our liturgies are very similar that we're using. We go to rite one during the season of Advent, which is not that familiar to a lot of people anymore. It's the Old English. It helps distinguish the seasons. And it's been a powerful way for people to understand who we are, and the language is different, and it really makes a difference in how we worship during the season of Advent, and the fact that they understand that this is a time of truly preparing hearts, minds, and souls. And, you know, Advent was determined by St. Andrew's Day, which falls on November 30th, and it begins on the Sunday before or after, which is closest to St. Andrew's Day. And, you know, Advent didn't start until the 4th century because we didn't always have Christmas. We didn't have a date for Christmas. And so it took a long time. You know, people think that we automatically had Christmas established, but we didn't. It wasn't until the 4th century when St. Augustine said that if the Savior had not been born, he could not have suffered and died for our sins, nor sent his Holy Spirit. The dates for Easter and Pentecost were not difficult to establish because they coincided with Jewish festivals. But there was no way of really knowing when Jesus was born, if you think about it, you know. But gradually, calculations in the 3rd century, a bishop prevailed, and in 336, December 25th became generally accepted as the date of the Nativity. And the church wasn't very old when the church felt there was needed to be a time of preparation, that we couldn't just have December 25th, but no preparation. And so originally, Advent was the same duration as Lent, 40 days, because it represented 4,000 years of patient waiting on the part of the Hebrews for the promised Messiah.
Right.
And so in the 4th century, we had, you know, the beginning of Advent, and they found that there was a sermon preached by Bishop Maximus, and, you know, at the Council of Tours. And so we saw the beginning of the season of Advent. But in the 7th century, the Western Church limited the season to 4 weeks. So there was a time when Advent was much longer. But by the 7th century, the Church limited the season to 4 weeks. And
I can't tell you how, you know, this show should be played for many seminarians. Because many seminarians who are not Episcopalian or Lutheran, many don't really know church history, or even we forget. You know, we're so ensconced in what we do today, which is so critical, but we forget that we're part of a larger picture.
Right.
And
right.
History always is a great reminder of that. And I am, you know, I have to say to the audience, I'm so sorry, but I'm loving every bit of this. I can't tell you how excited I am. I'm grinning, and I have to, you know, I wanted to scream and be very Baptist with you and just say, amen, hallelujah, because this
well,
is so
that be
exciting
okay
to
me.
Me.
Well, we need to make sure, Alethea, that you get an Advent
word.
Wreath in your house.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I encourage people to make their own Advent wreaths at home to say prayers every night. And
right.
This
uh-huh.
Thanksgiving, as I pulled out after dinner the Advent wreath to go on the table, my granddaughter said, you know, that's always been my favorite part, the preparation, the season of Advent, because it's so moving and so special.
Well,
and
my children, I have two teenage boys. They're willing to pray out loud
mm-hmm.
But really only at Advent. When we take turns, when we light the candle, we rotate it. So we, you know, one night it's my husband, one night it's me, one night it's one guy, one night it's the other.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise they're not willing to do it, but when it's Advent, they love it, and we do it every night.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's so wonderful. Now, Reverend Cassandra, share with us, I've got a picture of what happens at St. John's. Is your practice similar in terms of your worship service? The
Our worship service
doing
is very, 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 very similar.
With the Advent,
start with,
the Advent
yes,
wreath?
Yes, yes, with the Advent wreath. And we both are using the color blue, which is the contemporary color, rather than the purple.
Purple.
So we're both doing that. But just about word for word, we're doing the same thing, except that we're out in the country,
mm-hmm.
and we're this church with these beautiful stained glass windows. We have a beautiful setting. We have lots of parking so people can park, and they're always amazed that we have all this land, so to speak. And
mm-hmm.
It's a very warm congregation. It's very eclectic. And, you know, we might not have the people that are the high-power government people, but we have many who work in the government in different levels. And, like I said, we're outside the back door of Andrews uh-huh. Air Force Base, and
uh-huh.
we're actually a no. partner in care parish for the military.
Can I, Alethea, can
go
I?
Ahead,
oh, sorry. I was going to
no,
say,
go ahead.
I'm also a so Cassandra Blesser is now a grandma, which I find hard to believe.
Yes.
But I am a mom. I'm a working mom. We're a two working parent family with
mm-hmm.
kids in school. And I want to mention something about Advent as a weapon against Santa Claus. Now, I love Santa. Santa comes to my house, too. But what I found with my children, even when they were very young, was that having some sort of Advent practice at home was a wonderful, wonderful way of keeping my children and my household focused on what Christmas was about. Now, that doesn't mean that we were an All Jesus All the Time channel family. And
mm-hmm.
it doesn't mean that we didn't put up a Christmas tree and sing Christmas songs and have stockings and Santa came also. But by adding some Advent rituals and talk of Advent and an Advent wreath into our home during Advent season, so that every year we would make an Advent wreath together, and, you know, it took this whole evening, and then we'd light the candles and the whole bit, and we'd take turns saying the prayers every night. It was a little way of reminding my children that in our household, Christmas is primarily about Jesus. Now,
mm-hmm.
Santa also
mm-hmm.
comes, and it's great. And I think it is an unused, you know, when I was growing up, my family didn't really go to church very much. And what Advent meant to me were those little calendars that you opened up the windows on.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know anything about Advent until I started going to church when I was in college. I think it's an underutilized tool that parents
it
have.
Is.
And they can find ways. I mean, an Advent wreath is something fun, and it's a wreath, and it can be decorated in any way you want. Our young adults, Wednesday night, our 20s and 30s, are going to be making what they're calling hipster Advent wreaths that, you know, I don't even know what they're going to look like, but they like you could go on Pinterest or something and find ideas for Advent wreaths. You can make them out of paper. You can make them using toilet paper rolls as pretend candles if you have young children in your house. But it's an underutilized tool of parents to focus your children on it. Well, no, I really want to say
I fully agree. You know, we're in also for our Jewish brothers and sisters who are celebrating Hanukkah, just the ritual of candle lighting brings the family together, focuses the lesson. I celebrate Kwanzaa, so we go from Christmas to Kwanzaa, and those 7 days are the discipline of going through the candle lighting and talking about the principles. I think we do underutilize Advent as a tool for teaching lessons of Christianity and for family connection.
Exactly.
For singles, this connecting with your peers and your friends and sharing your faith is an incredible gift and tool.
It is. I think
the clergy can have a big role to play in that we educate our people as to the real reason why we're doing this, and the fact that it's not about getting lots of stuff, but about doing things for other people, and that you're lighting the way for Christ. You know, like I said, I think the buck stops with the clergy sometimes, that we've got to, you know, really teach and preach about the importance of Advent and helping people get prepared. I get tired of all this stuff, you know, that people think they need stuff. Stuff will not make them happy, folks. You know, and we need to turn this around. And when I see young and old in my parish filling bags of sand, baking cookies, when I see the amount of outreach that goes out from this small church, I'm just forever impressed that we're able to do what we do with so little for so many. And that's what it boils down to. And people have such a good time doing it.
Well, and it's also, so Cassandra's church has a beautiful image of coming together and using Advent to prepare to give. And another image is preparing your own soul and your own heart and your own spirit to have Jesus be born again in a new way. And that's another really, really valuable approach to Advent, which, you know, lighting candles, having silence, you know, those sorts of things that remind you that in order to make room for something new, you sometimes have to clear away. You have to make room.
Yes.
And in our busy lives where there's so much noise, there's so much to compete for our attention and our time, just the act of setting aside a few moments to light a candle and say a prayer and have some silence is literally sacred. You know, it is set to be sacred means to be set apart. It makes it holy, and it makes room for something new and wonderful and miraculous to be born in you again. And Cassandra's church more embodies the notion of preparing to give. They're preparing to give to the whole world, and they're doing it in all these many, many ways. And sort of the ways that connect with me very directly are the ways of preparing your community, your heart, your soul, your own self to be transformed again and to be born, to have Jesus born in you again, and to see, you know, what's coming to life in you again, Advent can really be a time to sweep away, to make room for something holy again. Then Christmas is just a miracle.
Yes. Well, when people come into our sanctuary on Christmas Eve.
We're nearing the end of the show. And so, Reverend Cassandra, can I ask you to offer a couple of comments and share an invitation to your congregation for worship and any special activity? And then would you do the same thing, Reverend Jenny, but sure. briefly, because we're coming to the end. So go
we,
ahead.
We worship every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We invite mm-hmm. you to join us, and after service, there's always an activity to help prepare for Christmas Eve. Also, on Christmas Eve, when the concert starts and our church is dark prior to the 7 p.m. service on Christmas Eve, the church is dark, and when the candles are lit, you can feel that the light of Christ is there. When the chrismon tree is lit, when all the candles on the Advent wreath and the Christ candle are lit, it's just miraculous. And we also have lights that go down our aisles, and it's just absolutely drop-dead gorgeous, and you get the message that Christ is alive. And that's who we are supposed to be as a people. And the light just draws us all in. And I want to have to say that, you know, part of my philosophy is that people need to have the biblical stories written on their hearts. That's very important to me.
Yeah.
And I had an older person one time said, you know, I never realized there might have been a donkey in that stable.
Oh.
And one of my little children said one time, yes, Reverend Cassandra, I know Howard was there a long time ago.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Bringing, you know. So, you know, we've got to figure out different ways to teach and to preach because there's a lot of darkness in our world, and we've got to help
Amen.
People find the light.
Yeah.
Oh,
Amen.
Wow. Thank you. Go ahead, Reverend Jenny, please.
So our website, the St. John's Lafayette Square website, is www.stjohns-dc.org. And on the website, you can find out about our concerts, about Advent lessons and carols. We have a concert tomorrow at 12:10. The church is at 1525 H Street. It's the little yellow church directly across the street from the White House. And that's a free concert at 12:10 tomorrow. Advent lessons and carols is on December 15th. We have services every Sunday in English at 7:45, 9, and 11. And we most Sundays have an adult forum at 10 o'clock between the services in adult education. We have a professor from VTS coming for the next two Sundays to speak about the Gospel of Matthew. We also have a service in Spanish at 1 o'clock every Sunday. And on Christmas Eve, we have a pageant service at 5, and there will be Christmas carols that begin at 4. So we have the Christmas pageant services at 5, and then there are also services at 7:30 and 11. And parking is not great, but St. John's has valet parking on Sundays. So we may not have Cassandra's big parking lot, but we have wonderful people who will park your car and go find it for you at the end of the service. So you are always welcome at St. John's.
If you want to check
our
website, the Christ Church website is very simple, christchurchclinton.org. Please join us. We have lots of free parking, and we encourage you to come.
Well, I thank you for the audience. Please know that the websites are on the blog site. The information is there. And you can always drop me an email or tweet me, and I'll be happy to give you additional information. I guarantee that if we have Reverend Cassandra Burton or Reverend Virginia Gabasi back again, we could easily fill the hour with lots of talk and laughter and joy and very committed ministry, expressions of committed ministry. I thank you both for being with me at the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show. It's been wonderful to hear from both of you. And if my congregation misses me on a Sunday, I can let them know right now I will either be at St. John's or at Christ Church, because you both have convinced me that is either place is the place to be. It's just such enthusiasm and passion for the love of God. I thank you. The show is entitled Advent is a Spiritual Adventure. And it is a spiritual adventure, as you can hear from Reverend Cassandra and Reverend Jenny. The passion is in their hearts, and they're inviting you to discover this passion for Christ through outreach and through spiritual inreach. I grew up in the Episcopal Church and was steeped in Anglican theology and tradition, and today I'm a staunch Baptist and fully embrace my denomination's doctrine and praxis. But with respect to faith in God through Christ, I am simply a Christian woman. And during this season, I hunger for the holy. I hunger for hope and peace and joy and love. And my hunger for hope, peace, joy, and love is especially keen given our culture of consumerism. Every day we are invited to focus on the merchant's bottom line, and we're reminded how our purchases are helping the economy. Not only do we forget that Jesus is the reason for the season, we forget that Jesus is the hope, peace, joy, and love that we seek in our lives. And more importantly, we need time. We need time to focus, to fully embrace what hope is all about, what peace and joy and love are about, and that Jesus offers these to us and embodies hope, peace, joy, and love as the Christ child. Beloved, I am inviting you to seek this experience of Advent. Seek the joy that is being offered to us so that on Christmas morning you will be able to celebrate the birth of Jesus in your heart and your lives. Thanks for listening tonight. Please like the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show as you're on the blog site. Follow this show. Remember, you're listening to me, and I want to listen to you. Keep letting me know what you want to talk about. I'm so thankful for those who said, what is Advent, who want to know more about Christmas. Keep listening. We'll be sharing more interesting conversation about Advent and Christmas and this joyful season that we're in. Email me your ideas and thoughts at RevAlethea, R-E-V-A-L-E-T-H-E-A, @gmail.com, or tweet me at RevAlethea. I invite you to worship with the Pavilion of God. The Pavilion of God is a safe place and sacred space. You can come as you are, 3701 Quincy Street, Brentwood, Maryland. Call our prayer line on Wednesday mornings at 6 a.m. and 12 noon. Pray with us as we pray with you, 605-475-4333. Access code 213-781. Stay in touch. Tweet me. Email me. Until next week, beloved, rev up, accelerate, and energize your life. Rev up, accelerate, and energize your life. Thanks for listening to the Blog Talks Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Show.